Hey folks, Cleveland Cam here. If you enjoy what you hear on the show today and want to support my podcast, go to patreon.com/Cleveland Cam and become a Cleveland Cam backer. Becoming a backer allows you to earn awesome rewards such as a shout out on my Twitter and my podcast, an Amazon gift card, or even a game day event package where I, Cleveland Cam, take you to a Cleveland sporting event of your choice on my dime. All you have to do is choose from one of three tiers and donate. It's that easy. Again, that's patreon.com/Cleveland Cam. Let's get it going.
This is Catching Cleveland. Now here's your host, Cleveland Cam.
What's going on, guys? Cleveland Cam here for episode 2 of Catching Cleveland. On today's episode of Catching Cleveland, we have a very special guest, a good friend of mine, met on Twitter, Kevin Beard. Kevin and I were on the Browns Perfect Season Parade Committee with Chris, and we ended up running the parade together. Kevin was someone who did the, he was in charge of the food stand for the food donations, did an awesome job, and I kind of did the line for all the floats. So that's kind of how we met. We remained in touch until I got rid of my Twitter. And then now that I'm back on, him and I are reconnecting. And I wanted to have Kevin on because he's a very knowledgeable Cleveland sports guy. Very passionate about his, his Browns, his Indians, his Cavs. So, Kevin, how are you?
It is great to see you back on social media again.
It was okay for a little bit because I was so busy, but now that I have some time on my hands and I coached high school baseball last year and I'm not doing that this year, so have a little bit of time on my hands. You know, I'm doing wedding planning and all that good stuff, but needed to get back into it. I mean, with all this Browns drama, which just seems to be continuing, I had to get on to share my thoughts with somebody, right? So we're back and better than ever.
We are almost to the point of Groundhog Day with this, Black Friday being a national tradition for the Browns. And unfortunately, because we did a parade, not because we wanted to stand outside where it's minus 10 degrees for 6 hours. We did it because we're so passionate about being a Browns fan. And unfortunately for us, we are almost still in the same predicament as we were 2.5 years ago or 2 years ago whenever we had that parade. And we thought we were getting over that hump this year, and unfortunately, we hired Freddie Kitchens, and it just didn't work out, and we're back to square one with our coaching.
Well, and that's maybe a good starting point, because to me, this season, and maybe you disagree, this season to me was the most disappointing season in my memory of the Browns coming back since 1999, and the reasons are things that you just mentioned, like, we thought when Baker came and we were 7-9 and Freddie was rolling and we hire him, everybody's in love with the hire. We think that this is the end. We're back. We're better than ever. You know, Freddie's here. We love John Dorsey for getting us all this talent. Goes out and gets OBJ, who we'll talk about today. But, you know, and then we just have a season where we're worse than, you know, last year. And to me, I have never been so disappointed in the Browns, even when we went 0-16. What are your thoughts on that?
In 2008, we had expectations based on Derek Anderson's very, very good 2007 season, the season of dreams, as it's remembered. That might be the last time as a team or as a whole we had expectations up until this past year. In this past year, you know, we had everything ranging from 8-8, which would, you know, we didn't even get to there, which would have been good coming from a 7-9 season. We were at least going in the right direction to Super Bowl. And I know that sounds crazy, but the talent level we have on our team, our wide receivers, that group alone is an all pro group at the top. We have the best running back duo in the league, and I don't even know that it's close. Our quarterback, which last season was our strong point, was now our weakness. Our tight end position, I can't even begin to understand what happened. But we had a great collection of talent. Mid-season, you know, we were not in a good place with our record. But when the Myles Garrett situation happened, I think that the wheels fell off. And I don't want to say that players give up, because I'm not inside the locker room. I don't know. But it was disappointing, like you said, as I've been in a long time.
Yeah, I mean, truthfully and honestly, it was just such a tough season. And, you know, it starts off tough. Then they smoke the Ravens, and you're almost like, wait a minute. I think maybe we get this. And then it was truly the Arizona Cardinals game that I officially was like, this is not going to work. We got to do something here. This is not going to work. So, you know, we finished the season out. I think pretty much everybody expected Freddie, except for Freddie, apparently. Apparently, Freddie was devastated when he got the news because he thought he had the support of the Haslams. But, you know, he gets fired, and I think almost everybody expected it to an extent. Then John Dorsey, in my opinion, surprisingly gets fired. What are your thoughts on John Dorsey? You know, I'm curious to hear, because I was a John Dorsey guy. So I was a little surprised, but I certainly understood after making that huge mistake of hiring Freddie why they would move a separate way. What are your thoughts on that, Kev?
I think that, like you said, I think his decision to hire Freddie is the reason he is no longer with the Browns, because his collection of talent, the way he collected all of these top-tier players, is almost second to none what he did in a year and a half, 2 years. The decision to hire Freddie Kitchens as a head coach, as opposed to, say, an offensive coordinator, could have been his undoing, because Freddie did a great job at calling plays, that dynamic he had with Baker Mayfield specifically. Hugh Jackson may have not been the right head coach, but and for me to say that I didn't think Freddie Kitchens was a good head coach, I mean, when we saw all of the sideline hugging and dapping up that Freddie and Baker did, we all thought there was going to be a great relationship there and it would work out great. I'm not going to say that I knew Freddie wouldn't work out, because I thought the way that he and Baker got along, that dynamic would work together. Obviously, I was wrong. I was disappointed, but I think that was ultimately John Dorsey's undoing.
No, there's no question. I tweeted it out. I said, you know, he'll be remembered for the Freddie hire. As sad as that is, if this thing with Kevin Stefanski works out and this talent ends up working out, unfortunately, John Dorsey will not be remembered for that. He will be remembered for the absolutely terrible hire of Freddie Kitchens.
Speaking of Stefanski, what are your thoughts on him as a whole?
Yeah, so, you know, Kevin Stefanski, for obviously, I mean, you had to live in a cave if you don't know, but for Clevelanders, right, Kevin Stefanski gets hired. He was the offensive coordinator for, you know, the last season and a half, actually. He was the interim OC, then got fired full-time last season. Did a really nice job in Minnesota. He's 37 years old. He's a really young guy. He's been with Minnesota his whole career, essentially, in the NFL. Pretty inexperienced like Freddie. That worries me quite a bit, Kev. I when he came in, there's a couple things I really like, and there's a couple things I really don't like. So I'll start with the don't like, since I'm already there. I don't like his inexperience, because I think of Freddie. I guess we're I just don't want to get burned twice from the same thing, right? He's really only had about 4 years as a position coach and a year and a couple of games as an OC. So he's really, really young, right? He's really, really inexperienced in a sense. Now, to flip that, right, being young is not always a bad thing and could actually be beneficial. The things I like about him are that he has a scheme that very much fits Baker Mayfield, very much fits Nick Chubb, right? He's an outside zone guy, likes to set everything up off of his outside zone runs. Our best run play this year was outside zone. And the plays he sets up off of that are oftentimes play action. I think they led the NFL in play action this past season. And Baker still had, even as bad as he was this year, had a lot of success out of play action. So I like that. And the other thing I do like is that he seems to not have a big ego, right? They asked him, I think it was Nathan Zagura on his interview, asked him, you know, are you going to be calling plays? And he says, hey, whatever's best for the team, I don't need to call plays if we have a guy that I trust. So I love that. How about you, Kev? What do you think about Kevin Stefanski? So that's kind of the quick rundown from me about what I think. What are your thoughts on him?
On Stefanski, to compare him to Freddie Kitchens, you can and you can't for a couple of reasons. Freddie Kitchens was obviously a football guy. He played for Alabama as a quarterback. He loves the game. But if I remember right, he was selling cars for a while and he was out of the game.
It's true. It's true.
Kevin Stefanski has been with the Vikings organization since 2006. And in that time, like you mentioned, he's been a position coach for 4 years. But in 2017, Case Keenum had his best year of his career. And not to say, I mean, it could be an anomaly, but as the only 2 years he was a quarterback coach in 2017 and 2018, Case Keenum had his best year in 2017 with 22 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. And has he done that since? No, he was benched in Denver shortly after he got there. I think he's also widely respected around the league. Freddie was almost a surprise hire in some aspect, and Kevin Stefanski is very well respected among his peers and the players under him. So I think that goes a long way in saying, you know, he could be a lot more beneficial than Freddie Kitchens. And I don't know if we're comparing apples to oranges, but I don't, and maybe players, you know, what else are they going to say? Are they going to badmouth him? Probably not. But there's a lot of people going out of their way to say a lot of good things about him, how smart he is, and what he could do as an offensive scheme, like you said, with the talent that we have to go a long way.
No, you're absolutely right. And Joe Thomas actually said it. He had a tweet that I felt good about mentioning, coming off of your point of he's very well respected. Joe Thomas said he reached out to anybody and everybody player-wise that he knew who had experienced Stefanski, and he said he was shocked at how the glowing reviews that he heard from players. And those are players talking to him off the record, so they didn't have to say it in that regard, right? They could have been 50-50 split, but like you said, these people, players and coaches, are saying wonderful, wonderful things about Kevin Stefanski. So that is helpful. Whereas Freddie, there's a story, I don't want to get it wrong, but I read something, it might have been an Athletic article where they said, it might have been Jason Lloyd, but he said, or whoever the writer was, right? I don't want to misquote anybody, but it was essentially that Freddie Kitchens was with, I think it was maybe Bill Parcells, and like someone reached out to Parcells after the hire, and Parcells essentially said no comment if he liked the hire. Now, if he's one of your guys and you think he's going to be good, you probably don't say no comment, right?
Absolutely not.
So now it might have not been Bill Parcells, and I hope I didn't butcher that, but it was some famous head coach that Freddie's worked with, and the person essentially said he didn't want to comment on the head coach hire. So that, to me, after the fact, I'm like, wow, you should have. And that, to shame on John Dorsey for not going through those guys he's coached with and vetted that information. But anyway, you know, I'm hoping to not talk Freddie too much more. Moving on to Kevin Stefanski, who, by the way, my fiance, who hates sports, is just all about Kevin Stefanski because of how good looking he is.
Let me double down on that. So my wife, who pays no attention to Browns games, and a few years ago I took her to a Browns game and it had great seats, and she looked at me, and probably because we were terrible, but she looked at me about halfway through the game and said, I'm bored. So I said, okay, I get it. You know, football's not your thing. I appreciate you coming with me. But then two nights ago, I showed her, I was like, oh, look, this is the Browns new coach. And she says, oh, I'm a Browns fan again. I said, yeah, makes sense. I mean, if Kevin Stefanski is bonding and bringing families together.
That's what I say.
I have also heard that with Kevin Stefanski may come an assistant GM from Minnesota. Have you heard anything about him?
Yeah. What's his name? It's something Peyton. I think it's Paton, I believe. I think he's the assistant GM. I've actually heard some pretty good things about him. Another guy who's pretty well respected. There's been a few GM hires or people that they've talked about. Andrew Berry being the big front runner that people are talking about, who used to be with the Browns, obviously. And they actually just interviewed a scouting guy from the Patriots for the GM job. So I'm not really sure who they're going to go with. It kind of seems up in the air, or they're trying to make it seem up in the air. My suspicion is they go with Andrew Berry because he's kind of been the loud name around this the whole time.
Andrew Berry is surprisingly young. I didn't realize he was 31.
Is he 31? I had no idea.
He's not to say he's not qualified. He has been with the Browns before. And if I remember right, he played at Harvard as a cornerback. Not that the position makes any bit of difference, but I know that Joe Thomas will say offensive line is the smartest position in football. That's not my place to say. But he went to Harvard. If someone that sits on his couch and watches the game like me says that he's unqualified, I am wrong. I have no position to say anything. Now, I know that there are a lot of people, like you said, Nathan Zagura, who raves about the kind of person that Andrew Berry is. And being a great person is a bonus, but please draft me some good football players and win me games.
That's all that matters at the end of the day. Dude, I can't get over the 30. He's 31 years old. I mean, and that's, yeah. You know what? I'm a big believer in age shouldn't matter. And I hate when people use ageism and stuff. So I'm all for it. That doesn't count as a negative to me. I just cannot believe he's that young.
No, and back to George Patton. I mean, he's a little bit older. He's probably mid 40s. Not that it matters, but he has also turned down GM interviews in the past, and he worked in the Dolphins organization from 2001 to 2005 or 2006 as the director of pro personnel. So his background is in player personnel. So it's not just he does analytics like everybody's saying that trigger word now. He is also on the player development side of it. So I think that's just as big as analytics. And analytics plays a part in everything. I mean, no matter what people say, every football coach in the last 20 years has used analytics one way or another. Some teams just happen to use it more than others.
Yeah, it's been this word, and I actually shout out Jake Burns. I was listening to his podcast, Browns Film Breakdown Podcast, and he was saying the exact same thing, that it's almost – people are trying to use this word like it's taboo, right? Like it's a bad thing. And it's not a bad thing at all, right? It's a good thing. Now, there have been some reports about how they're going to align it, and I'm going to wait. I was a little bit upset at first, but I'm going to wait and let it play out a little bit before I worry about that. You know, going on to a different topic, though, Kev, I did want to talk to you because this is the story of the day with Odell Beckham Jr. in Louisiana, in New Orleans for the national championship game. And I was upset with him at first before all this came to light with how he seemed to make the day about himself, right? He was in every video. He was giving pep talks, you know, and he's not even on the team anymore. But so the story from today, obviously, most people probably heard, OBJ, there was a video that came out of OBJ smacking a police officer's butt in the locker room after the game and then kind of taunting or dancing in front of him. Now, today there was charges pressed against OBJ. Now, the twist, I don't know if you saw this, but the twist of it was the report was that the arrest or the charges were not filed by that police officer. They were filed by a security guard who was in the locker room separate from that police officer. Did you hear that?
I did not. I just heard about this afternoon, and I didn't get a chance to look, and excuse me for not doing my homework, but I didn't know that it was not from that police officer. And I don't know the laws, how that works, but I'm not saying he should have done it because he shouldn't have. I don't, male or female, whatever, however it is, that should never happen, inappropriately touching somebody. But to say that's the only potential crime he committed that day, I can't even say that.
Yeah, I'm disappointed because the first video comes out of him handing out money to players on the field, which is a clear violation.
That's what I was referencing. Yeah. I wasn't referencing anything illegal. I meant, you know, I will say till the end of time, and I believe you agree with me, players should be paid.
But, yes.
But Joe Burrow didn't do him any favors by admitting that it was real money.
It was funny. So he said it on Pardon My Take, which I listen to all the time. I'm a huge fan. I'm listening to this right after the report that LSU tried to say it was fake money. And Joe Burrow is literally blatantly saying it was real cash. So LSU has to quickly backtrack and say, oh, yeah, someone told us that it was fake, but I guess it wasn't. It's like, okay, LSU, whatever. But at any rate, right, like you were saying, he starts off with this video in the middle of the field handing out wads of cash to players, which is a violation. Then you go into the locker room and he's, you know, I get it. The police officers were trying to have players put out cigars, which it was a non-smoking building. But, man, they're celebrating a national championship, whatever. But the police officers said they're going to arrest you. And that's where you say, okay, we'll stop. Now, while this guy was trying to have a guy put his cigar out, OBJ spanked them, right? And to me, again, he shouldn't be arrested for this. And I don't think he will be. He'll probably have to pay a fine and everyone will, you know, bygones will be bygones. However, people are getting mad at me on Twitter for saying it's on OBJ. This is on OBJ, right? He chose to make poor choices all night, right? And if I spank a police officer and then he chooses to arrest me, I say, hey, do you really have to do this? Is that necessary? Sure, I might say that. However, it's my fault because I chose to spank him.
I mean, this is the type of offseason we're having as Browns fans, talking about our star wide receiver spanking a police officer. This is only a Browns thing, it seems like. We knew what we were getting with him. I mean, obviously, we didn't know this kind of situation, but he just has to know better. I mean, situational awareness, it's great having a lot of money. It's great being rich and famous, but you cannot go above and beyond the law that every other common citizen can go by. And this isn't me, you know, yelling at clouds like an old man. This is just me saying it's common sense that, you know, you don't spank anybody in public, let alone a police officer.
The stuff what we're talking about, don't you just wish sometimes that we'd be an organization that just didn't have to talk about such nonsense?
I mean, we're saying it out loud. It sounds even more ridiculous.
I'm laughing.
In all fairness, the best team in almost, I'd say if you had a 20-year run, aside from maybe the Spurs, the Patriots have hit, they are that team. And maybe the Celtics of the 60s and 70s, but neither here nor there. Their star, maybe not a star, their best wide receiver just jumped on someone's car too.
Yeah, isn't that wild? I haven't read the story on that. Do you know why he did that?
I saw him, I think it was like the Kentucky Derby a few years ago, really, really intoxicated, throwing around money. So it's not anything that surprises me. But I mean, I don't know the situation. I didn't read into it. I mean, fortunately, I guess it's not just a Browns thing.
Yeah, that's true. And after all, the Patriots did have Aaron Hernandez, whose documentary just came out, which, by the way, if you haven't watched that, Kevin, I would strongly recommend you watching that on Netflix.
That is on my to watch list.
Oh my gosh.
Some of you know, most of you don't. I have 6 children, so it is almost nearly impossible to watch things as I would like to, let alone that. But fortunately for me, my 10-year-old and I, we watch every possible football game together. He goes to the Browns games with me. So, you know, the Browns do, aside from Kevin Stefanski stealing all of our wives and girlfriends, you know, they do bring families together, and that's a great thing. But as far as Aaron Hernandez documentary, I think I'll be watching that one by myself.
Yeah, I would not bring the 6 children in for that one. That's not going to there's a lot of crazy twists and turns in that I don't think you'd want your kids, you know, dealing with it, especially younger kids.
No, I don't think so. No, I mean, I don't even know if I'm ready for them.
Dude, it was such a messed up situation, truly. It was whew,
it's just one of those polarizing things, like, you know, O.J. Simpson case. I don't know the level of how strong this was in the public eye with Mike Tyson's you know, rape case that he went to prison for.
Yeah.
But I know this Aaron Hernandez case, it is encapsulated my attention when it happened. And now that this documentary is out, it's almost something you have to see as a sports fan. And it's not necessarily something you want to see. You just need to see it.
Yes, 100%. So the last thing I want to talk to you about, Kev, was kind of a more funny, humorous topic. And you kind of laughed when I texted you that we were going to talk about it. But Baker Mayfield recently posted a picture of him in a black T-shirt and, you know, with long hair. And it looks – the angle makes him look a little bit bigger than you might imagine a franchise quarterback looking. Now, I could say that as a bigger human being. And I don't know if it's just the angle of the photo, but the kind of running narrative on Baker this year, I don't know, you know, if how public it was, but I see it all the time with Twitter and people making jokes, is that Baker gained some weight and was a little bit overweight playing this year. Now, all I could think of looking at this photo was not really a good start for Baker either. Now, maybe that's just me being very pessimistic with all this OBJ stuff, but you know, obviously the running narrative, again, back on Twitter, is that Baker Mayfield is a little bit overweight, needs to lose some weight. I'm curious, Kevin, what are your thoughts on that whole Baker Mayfield is too big?
Well, he has self-admitted in the past that he has not worked as hard as he should in the offseason, and that was last year. So to have this happen, you know, again, you're kind of surprised by it because you hear these stories of his motivation and how hard he works, and he may. I don't know because I'm not there. I'm not going to say he's lazy. It may have been a bad angle. But it's not like a benefit of the doubt thing. You're getting paid millions of dollars. You have 20 endorsement commercials out right now. So I can't crutch and say that it's, you know, maybe it's just he's enjoying the offseason. It's happened before. I'm not going to hit the panic button in January, but come June or July, if he doesn't get it together, you're going to kind of worry. I want a quarterback that not just tells you he works hard, but does, you know, and I don't necessarily mean like an all-time great like Tom Brady, but someone who I consider will be an all-time great. Maybe I overrate him, but as a teammate, as a leader, as a person, as he carries himself to the community, and Baker's a good guy in the community. But if I could have everything I wanted in a quarterback, it would be someone like Russell Wilson. And I really, really admire the way he carries himself on the field and off the field. But, and I'm not comparing the two. I wish, you know, maybe he'd work out just a little bit harder. I don't even like having these discussions because as going into this season, Browns fans were so confident that even with him not working as hard, he was going to be better than Lamar Jackson, and Lamar Jackson was trash and should be a wide receiver. Now, Lamar Jackson is a running quarterback. Okay, I shouldn't say that. He's a quarterback that can run. He's not a running quarterback. He is as accurate as almost anybody in the league, and I had him – not to get too far off base, but I had him on my fantasy team, and he almost single-handedly won that for me.
Yeah, every fantasy league I was in this year, if the person who had Lamar Jackson literally made the semifinals or greater. I mean, every single person.
I traded Jared Goff and Kenyon Drake for Lamar Jackson, and it worked out. So, back to Baker. I think that I just want to see him work a little harder. That's it. And it doesn't matter. I want to win games. If he weighs 325 at 5'10", but he wins me a Super Bowl, don't care. That just means it's going to cost us more to bronze the statue when he retires.
Listen, I'm almost on the same page, but I do agree that I don't think his offseason was as prepped as it should have been. He was in every kind of commercial. He came back heavier than he was his rookie season. And, you know, there are side-by-side comps of him at the combine versus, you know, him now. He looked way better at the combine. There's just no question about that.
Well, I think with the combine. So The combine was a job interview. When I go to my job interview, you are getting the best that you possibly can get from me this very minute. He worked as hard as he could for months for that 1 week. And did he get complacent? Did he get happy? I don't know. That's not for me to say. Maybe the beard, you know, maybe it's just a bushy beard. I don't know.
That's true. Maybe it's
probably heavier than I was 2 years ago, but I'm pretty sure, you know, maybe he's a little complacent. Maybe he's not. Maybe I just don't know what I'm talking about. But he probably could work a little bit more in the offseason.
We'll see. I mean, if he's not motivated going into this year, there's no motivation for him. Which again, I am like you. I don't even like talking about it. I wanted to address it because so many people are talking about this picture that he posted. And, you know, his weight and if it's an issue. I don't know. I'm kind of in the same boat as you. I don't know if it's an issue, but I was more upset with I didn't think he worked as hard as he needed to in the offseason. So probably two separate issues there.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, we're just kind of combining everything. Oh, he's a little heavier. Oh, that's why he's not playing great. You know, exactly. I can't say that accurate.
No, I feel the same way. I feel the same way. Well, I mean, that's all we got for today's episode. Kev, I really appreciate you coming on with me.
Anytime, Cam. I'm more than happy to. And by the way, congratulations on your engagement.
Hey, thanks so much. Went viral on Twitter, and that was a fun time in my life, by the way. but really appreciate you coming on, and we'll definitely do this again. And really happy to be back on Twitter with you and the rest of the community. So thanks, Kev. I appreciate it.
Thank you for having me.
You got it. All right, we out.